That was the attitude of the disciples, the apostles, Peter, John, so on and so on. Anywhere the Lord wanted them to go, they would go. Wherever there was work that needed to be done, nevertheless, Lord, at thy word I will. That should be the attitude of his saints today. Nevertheless, at your word I will. Turn your Bibles, if you have them this morning, to Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. We will start our lesson here, and from there we will proceed to cover some other scriptures, but the bulk of the lesson is taken from this very chapter and verse, a book here, Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Oftentimes today in my walk, I see people at my job that says, God has brought me here. God wants me to do this. If God will, good attitudes that any saint should have. God wants me to be here. But I submit to you that a lot of times you say, well, God wants me to go here. God wants me to do there. I say, ask the question, what have you done right here? What make you think if you're not working for God here today, right here in your community today, he wants you to go across this place or over to another city to work for him? He may. I'm not saying that. I'm just simply saying, as a saint and as a follower of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, regardless of where we are, we should always be working for the Lord. His work is continuous. Our neighborhoods, our surrounding cities, our villages, our little outreach places in the suburbs, in the country, God wants us to go there to spread his word. He wants us to have the attitude that was read and this that was just sang in this very song in number 251, where it was penned by the writer Carrington Rounsfield, Carrie Rounsfield. As I was looking through this today, I was looking in the back of the index and said, well, what song would best fit my lesson this morning? And I came across this one. I saw I have decided to follow Jesus. I saw where he leads, I will follow. I saw and some other songs, you know, Seek Ye First, Ring Out the Message, all talks about following Christ. But this one in particular with the right attitude, where it says, it may not be on the mountain's height or over the stormy sea. It may not be at the battle's front. My Lord would have need of me. But if by a still small voice he calls to pass that I do not know, I'll answer, dear Lord, with my hand in thine, I'll go where you want me to go. Is that our attitude today? Is that the attitude of the Christian? Wherever God needs me, I will go. Not looking out for what I may have to eat, to drink. I don't have a home, a shelter, a place, but God is calling me to go where you go. He's calling you every day, and I'm going to tell you right now, to talk to your neighbors, to talk to your co-workers. Every day, he's calling you to do that and tell you to spread his word. I was talking to a fellow in the gym this past Thursday, I believe it was, and he was reading his Bible in the sauna. And we began to talk about different things. And we talked about, you know, speaking God's word and all of that, and what we should be doing and how we should be doing things. So we got in a pretty good conversation, and we talked about a lot of things. You know, I talked about some things. He talked about some things. He talked about following God and doing what God wants him to do. And I said, you know something? He's absolutely right. God is calling us to do his will. Doesn't matter what we have or what we think we should have in this life. Beautiful home, beautiful cars. God wants us to glorify him. He wants us to have the attitude, doesn't matter. If you call me, Lord, or if you're telling me this is what I do, I am willing to do it. I, and whatever, nevertheless, at your word, I will. I won't go back and bury the lost. I won't go back and store up food or take care of this or take care of that. I want to be about God's will. That was the attitude of the apostles. When he called the apostles, they left everything and followed our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, as we begin our lesson this morning, it says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and said to and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into the one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered, said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net." Is that our attitude like Simon Peter? Or do we just go a little further than Simon Peter did? Do we say, Lord, I done talked to him 100 times. It ain't going to help him. And we go on about our business when he's telling us to say just one more word. But you see, we should have the attitude that Simon Peter had. Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. Remember the attitude of Noah when he was to go and preach to Nineveh. He said they don't deserve it. He did everything he could to keep from preaching to the people in Nineveh. When Simon saw this beginning in verse 8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Everything, Peter, James, John, forsook all and followed Jesus to catch these men that Jesus spoke about. Jesus charged his apostles to make disciples of all nations. In Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 18 and 19, says, baptizing them upon his authority. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. That applies to you and to me today. Go and make disciples. Go and preach my word, baptizing them in the name of our Lord and Savior, the Father, the Holy Spirit. And he says, I am with you even unto the end of the earth. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, it says, teaching them to observe what he has commanded. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, as I've read before, even unto the end of the world. Are you a disciple of Christ? Is your mindset a disciple? Or was displayed when Jesus called Peter? Now let's take a look at Peter in verse 5, beginning in verse 1. When Jesus was teaching at the Sea of Gennesaret, the Sea of Galilee, when Jesus called on Peter to let down the net. Looking into verse chapter 5, verse 1 through 3, it says, And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him he would thrust out a little from the land. You see in verse 3. Then in verses 4 through 5, Jesus called on Peter to let down his net again. Now, does Peter trust the Lord and do what he's commanded? In verses 10 through 11, we see Jesus call on Peter to lay down his net. When Jesus called on Peter to lay down his net, we see the fill in the tape that was taken by Peter and the other boat. It says, and so was all also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Did you notice the mindset of the disciples here as they left everything and followed the commandments of Christ? Are you willing to give up everything and follow what God has told you to do God's will? Are you willing to do that? You know something, in most cases, Christ haven't asked us to give up everything. But he has given us commandments to follow, and we're going to see that as we get down. He has asked us, that we've told us, that we must love him more than our own mothers and fathers. We must put him first. He hasn't asked you to forsake, in many cases, maybe some, to forsake your home. Sometimes you may have to forsake your home for the work of Christ. But in most cases, I don't see that in today. It may be. I'm not saying it isn't. I'm just simply saying I haven't seen it in most cases with the saint. Sometimes maybe we do neglect our families in many ways to do the work of God, but that's a commandment. He has told us we must love him be more than our own families. We see the mindset of these disciples as we note in first Peter's willingness to do the Lord's word. First of all, letting down the net. In Luke 5:4, Jesus instructed Peter to let down his net. Next, in verse 5, he said Peter did not think it would do any good. If you look in verse 5, you see the conversation and the mindset of Peter. Then he says they had been fishing all night. They had caught nothing. Wouldn't a fisherman know more about fishing than a carpenter? Don't you think Peter knew more about fishing than Jesus, the carpenter? That's just like me telling Steve when he come to lay tile, Steve, that's not right. I'm a computer manager. Steve's a master at stonework. How can I tell him? This is what Peter's thinking. Well, Lord, how are you going to tell me? Or in this case, how are you, a carpenter, going to tell me about fishing? But anyway, yet Peter said, you see, Peter said, all right, I'm tired, sleepy, probably hungry. Nevertheless, Peter says, at your word, I will let down the net. Peter humbled himself and said, I will let down the net. Though he did not think it would work, you see, though it defied common sense. The result of doing the Lord's word in Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 6 through 8, it says the catch was overwhelming for one net, even for two boats. Peter was made aware of his own sinfulness at that point. Here we see the mindset of a disciple. Nevertheless, at your word, I will. The same mindset you and I, as saints and disciples of Christ, should have today. In laying down the net, in Luke chapter 5, 9 through 10, it says, he and his co-workers were astonished at their success. Jesus reassured Peter and then called him and his partners to follow him. Though he did not think he could be any good, I'm a sinful man, O Lord, Peter said. Though it meant leaving behind a successful business and family, Peter left his wife for the time being. Luke chapter 4, beginning verse 38, he says, and he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And in Luke 18:28, then Peter said, lo, we have left all and followed thee. You see, Peter said, I have left all, Lord, and I follow you. Are you willing to do that? Titus, are you willing to do that? To leave all and follow Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 5, it says, have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? In Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 21 through 22, it says, James and John left their father. It says, and going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Yet they left all and followed him. The result of doing the Lord's word in Luke chapter 6, beginning in verse 13, it says, the Lord called them even greater service. The Lord called them to even greater service. You see, there's a need for God's word. This is a greater service. As mentioned by Brother Sammy in our meeting, our job here on earth is to glorify our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We glorify him by doing the will of the Father. Then in Luke chapter 6, beginning in verse 13, it says, the Lord called them to even greater service. It says, and when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew, his brother James and John, Philip and Bartholomew. I'm not going to go through them all. In Luke chapter 22, 28 and 30, it says they would receive even greater rewards for the service they were about to enter. It says, ye are they which have continued with me in my temptation, and I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Such is the mindset of the disciple. Such should be the mindset of us. Nevertheless, at your will, at your word, I will. Peter, together with James and John, illustrated the attitudes that must characterize a disciple of Jesus. A willingness to do whatever the Lord says, no matter the cost, even when we don't understand why. Sometimes we want to ask the Lord why. Like the song says, tempted and tried, I can't remember the number. We often made to wonder why there are others living about us who are doing something wrong, something that goes, and yet they are prospering and doing all that. We want to often ask, why? Don't worry about it. Press on. Just like in the military, I was growing up in the military, soldiers good to ask, well, why I have to do it? Why can't he do it? Why can't Private So-and-so do it? What is he doing? Well, he didn't do this. Why do I have to do it? What is he doing? Let me tell you something, soldier. Don't worry about what he's doing. You take care of what you are doing. You do what you are doing right, you move out. You will be rewarded for what you have been commanded to do. Don't worry about it. In end times, those who are prospering today and not doing God's will, you don't want their reward. Trust me, you don't want their reward. Our willingness to do the Lord's word. In becoming his disciple, we may not think we can do any good. I oftentimes ask myself, I say, well, how do I approach that? How do I start talking to this individual? And I just ease a little word in there, and I'll ease another little word in there. I have a difficult time sometimes. Despite the fact that I can talk a lot, I still have a difficult time sometime approaching certain individuals about God's word. I don't know how to approach them, but I pray that God would give me insight and guidance. Most of the time, all you have to do is say one thing, and they'll take the conversation and want to talk about it from there, believe it or not. Or, and sometimes when someone who absolutely not going to adhere or listen to you, when you say that, they're going to, first response, I don't want to hear it, I don't want to discuss it. In the conversation, what God has told us, shake the dust from your feet and move on. You shouldn't be keeping that company anyway. But it doesn't mean you don't go back next week and talk again. God may send you back next week and you have to say the same words again. You may hear the same response. But as many times as God sends you, you must be willing to say, nevertheless, at thy word, I will. We might think we are too sinful, but Jesus calls sinners. In chapter 5 of Luke, verse 8, it says, I came not to call the righteous, verse 32 says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 9, even the rankest sinners can serve him. Even the chief of sinners can serve him. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 9, He says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? But be not deceived, neither fornicators nor adulterers, nor adulterers or adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, neither thieves nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, nor shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." You see, you can be washed of all that wrongdoing, of all the sinful things, and become a disciple of Christ. We are to follow him above all, family, work, and self. That's why we say when we go to work, we go to the glory of God. Because the life you're living is preaching to your next door neighbor or your peer or your cube mate or whoever. Or your, if you got a big office, when the person enter your office, the life you are living, when they see you daily, you are preaching to them. If you are living the life like the world, how can you reflect Christ? How can you be a disciple of Christ if your life don't reflect Christ? People learn more about how you live from about how you live than when you talk to them in most cases. Well, he professes Christ. But I saw that same fella swearing up a storm last week, cheating on his taxes. I saw that same fella strike his wife or his spouse. That same fella been married 15 times and looking to be married again. Why does he? What's the problem with him and his wife? But he's professing Christ. Live the life that Christ would have us live, a life that glorifies him. In Luke chapter 14, verse 26, it says, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." Well, that's a pretty strong saying, isn't it? That's a pretty strong saying. That's a word we don't even teach our kids, don't even want our kids to know, hate. That's a pretty strong saying. But the writer here says, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sister, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." Well, let's look at Matthew 10 and 37. He says, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." In other words, what he's saying here, the writer's saying, God must be first. First and foremost in our lives. He must be what we think about day in and day out. He must be what we live for, our purpose for existence. But he also commands us more, and we're not getting in that today, that we must love our mothers, fathers, children, family. He tells us we have to love them too. But what he is simply saying here is, I am first. If your wife, your children, chooses not to do my will and want to take you along that path, you must not follow them. You must follow me. You cannot allow your family to convince you that Christ is not the way, or he is not to be number one in your life. Christ is number one. Luke chapter 9, 23 to 26, "And he said to them, all, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantage? If he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away." Back to that song, "Tempted and Tried, Many Prosper." What advantage for those that are not doing the will of God to gain the whole world? Pile up riches on top of riches. What have they gained? Absolutely nothing. because in the end they shall be cast away, just like all the material possessions in this world shall be cast away. For whatsoever shall be ashamed, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and his Father's and in his Father's and of the holy angels. What a sad day that would be if God says, I'm ashamed of you, Titus. I'm ashamed of you. What a sad day. In Luke 14, 16 through 24, Jesus must come before work as well. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper, bade many, and sent his servants at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuses. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to the servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste my supper. Are you too busy at work to serve God, to read your Bible, to tell someone about God? Think about it. For those willing to follow him, the rewards are great. In this present time, much more. In Luke 18, chapter 18, beginning in verse 30, then Peter said, lo, we have left all and followed thee. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left the house, or parents, or brethren, or wife, or children, for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting, the great reward. In the age to come, eternal life. Luke chapter 18, verse 30. Do we have the mindset to become disciples, to become a disciple? Nevertheless, at your word, I will. And being his disciple, the Lord may ask us to do things we don't think will work, such as laying up treasure in heaven instead of for self. That's in Luke chapter 12, 15 through 21. Also, such as seeking first the kingdom of God, Luke chapter 12, 22 through 34. I'm not going to read these, but you can read them at a later time. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, though, it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The Lord may ask us to do things we don't yet understand. Matthew 16 and 16, why be baptized for the remission of our sins, we ask. We may not understand how that works or why, but he has asked us to do that. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Acts 2, 38 says the same thing as Peter talked on the day of Pentecost. As Peter got up and spoke, he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sin, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Why observe the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week? Because the Lord said, nevertheless, at thy word, I will. Acts chapter 20, verse 7. Why not to forsake the assembly of ourselves together? Because as the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 10, 25, forsake not the assembly. Why women are not permitted to public roles in worship? Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 34 through 37, and I will read that. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, beginning in verse 34 through 37, it says, let your women keep silent in the churches. This is Paul writing to the Corinthians. I didn't make this up. Let your women keep silent in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, For it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church. What came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Now, Paul wrote that in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, beginning in verse 34. That is not Titus. That is Paul. Why churches are not to be burdened by familial responsibilities or family responsibilities. In 1 Timothy 5 and 16, it says, if any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. In other words, the families have a responsibility to take care of the widows first. If there is a family member, they have that responsibility first, not the child of the church. For those willing to obey him, the rewards are great. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, our labor is not in vain. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. In Matthew 25, 34, and 2 Peter 1, 11, we can look forward towards great rewards, inheritance of the kingdom. It says, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye, blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. In 2 Peter 1 and 11, it says, for so an interest shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Is our mindset that of being a disciple? We're not questioning what God has commanded us to do. Oftentimes, we are confused about something. Oftentimes, we can't explain something. But nevertheless, Lord, at thy word, I will. That should be the attitude of each saint in this world today, each one present this morning. Nevertheless, Lord, at thy word, I will. Whatever you have commanded me to do, I am willing to do. Whatever it is I should be doing, guide me, Father. Give me strength. Give me guidance. I place my hand in yours. Lead me. Lead me unto thy glory. So that in the end, I can hear those wonderful words. Well done, my good and faithful servant. A home I have prepared for thee. Not like those who made excuses for the man of the supper. It's one excuse after the other, reasons they couldn't come in. Are we making excuses today why we can't serve God, why we can't glorify him? What are your excuses? I tell you now, put them away, drown them. Cut him up, bury him, never to see him again. Serve the Lord, nevertheless. Nevertheless, Lord, at thy word, I will. In closing, are you willing to become a disciple of Jesus? Heeding his call to follow him, putting him before family, work, and even yourself. Some of us, as I think it was Samuel, one of them, I think it was Brother Samuel, talked about self-preservation, always wanting to put self first. Well, I used to have an old thing growing up, especially with my buddies. Tell them all the time, first law of nature, self-preservation. I tell them that all the time. They ask me, what are you going to do? I say, I got to take care of myself first. Got to take care of myself. That's not the attitude Christ wants us to have. Unless you flip the strip and say, we're talking about God. First law of nature is God's business. And everything else falls in the line. Trust me. Just as he commanded Abraham to go and to slay Isaac, he too will prepare a way. Even if you have to slay your very own, it's always better when doing what God has commanded. But I don't think he's commanded us to do anything that harsh this day. He says, go and make disciples. Speak my word. Preach it throughout. Are you doing that? I got neighbors all around me. I think I may have talked to maybe two of them about the Bible. I got four or five more right up the street. Invited one to church, two to church. How many have you invited? And I've been there for 6 years, you see. So am I doing God's will? I think not sometimes. I think I can do more. Heeding his call to follow him, putting him before family, work, and self. Are you willing to adopt the mindset of a disciple? obeying the word of the Lord, even when it may seem futile and unreasonable. Though it may defy common sense, may we ever say, nevertheless, at your word, I will. I thank you for your time this morning. I ask that if there's anyone here today that have yet to even give their life to Christ, as Peter spoke in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Confess the Lord. If you have heard his word this morning, confess that he is the Son of the living God. Trust and then repent of your ways. Repent. Have a change of heart. Repent doesn't mean I'm not going to do it today. Repent means having a complete change of whatever it is that's keeping you from our Lord. And make it right, being baptized. Then rise. Once you're baptized, rise to walk in newness of life. Have you done that? If you haven't, the time is now. None of us are promised any time beyond now. If you have done that, but yet still there are things that's precluding you from doing, following nevertheless, Lord, at thy word I will, then you need to clear it up now. Get rid of the baggage. Excess baggage only weigh you down, slow you down. Don't carry that. He told us the only thing, pick up my cross. Pick up the cross and follow me. It's the only thing you should have in his word, the word of God. This is what you should be carrying. All the other burdens should be laid aside, given over to Christ for him to deal with. Whatever your needs are, let them be known while we stand and sing the song of invitation.